It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh, goodness gracious. What a long and frustrating couple of days it's been. You know what? Slowly getting back together. So, sorry for the delay, the missed shows, the wonky behavior. Trying to get there. Slowly but surely. So, I'm going to go ahead here. Do my best. Let's go ahead and figure out some world news here. Here I got the news pulled up. And first, before we do that, of course, got to tell you, if you'd like to chat during the show, you can do that by SSHing over to sdf.org. If you're a good netizen, you can SSH. There we go. To tty.sdf.org. When you go there, boom, you will find yourself at the in SDF land. All you gotta do is launch com, type com, press enter. You press go to, and after you type G, you type non-radio, all lowercase, all one word. When you do that, you will be hanging out with the like PJP and X1 and Unixon and Tobe. And SCM and M. Chamley and Ethan97, all the OptiFX, all the cool people are hanging out in com. Someone who's not hanging out in com, but they could be, Edward Snowden. He's been granted Russian citizenship. Former U.S. intelligence contractor Edward Snowden, who leaked extensive U.S. intelligence surveillance operations, has been granted Russian citizenship. The decree was signed by President Putin on Monday. Mr. Snowden, aged 39, has been living in exile in Russia since the NSA program. He exposed the PRISM and all of those other big programs in 2013. That's right. It's been 9 years, almost 10 years since that happened. In 2020, the NSA surveillance of millions of Americans' telephone records was ruled unlawful by the U.S. Court of Appeals. Mr. Snowden said afterwards that he felt vindicated by the ruling. Top U.S. intelligence officials had publicly insisted the NSA had never knowingly collected data from private phone records until Mr. Snowden exposed evidence to the contrary. So that is what's, that's what's going on right there for you. Let's test. Why is it? I guess if I talk too quietly, it clips me off. I guess that's good. I guess. I'll go so. This, and then let's click this. Works. Da 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 da. Exactly. Okay, I've updated metadata. I don't know if it will change or not, but we'll see what happens. Oh, hey, there we go. Hey, Draw, welcome. All right, cool. It is news time. All right, here we go. So he could go to the front lines. I don't have my news sorted because I am so far out of the loop. I'm all over the place. Let's go. NASA spacecraft lining up to smash into an asteroid. That's right, we got space news. What? We got a couple of space news stories. Let's see. Do we got any cool space sound effect? Let's see what we got. Five, four, three, two, one. Okay, this is not a cool sound effect. Okay, never mind. Well, there we go. So, I'm all over the place. Like I said, I'm sorry. I'm having a brain day. But we're gonna make it. We're gonna power through and hold on to the reins of our sanity. In the coming hours, the American Space Agency will crash a probe into an asteroid. NASA's DART mission wants to see how difficult it would be to stop an asteroid from hitting the Earth. The demonstration is taking place some 11 million kilometers away on a target called Dimorphos. The agency says the rock is not currently on a path to hit the Earth, nor will the test accidentally send it in our direction. The impact is timed for 2314 GMT, or 0014 BST, on Tuesday. Telescopes will be watching from afar, including the new Super Space Observatory James Webb. We've all seen how Hollywood would do it, with brave astronauts and nuclear weapons, but how do you protect the Earth from an asteroid for real? NASA is about to find out. Its idea is to simply smash a spacecraft into one. The thinking is you would only need to change the rock's velocity by a small amount to alter its path so that it misses Earth, provided you do it far enough in advance. The Double Asteroid Redirection Test, or DART mission, will check out this theory with a near head-on crash into 160-wide Dimorphos at over 20,000 kilometers. Pretty intense. We'll see what happens. If you want to find out exactly, well, what is that? How big is Dimorphos? Well, don't worry. I got your back, because the BBC had my back with this image. Size comparison for you. All you got to do to check it out is go to sdf.org/l/9f. That's sdf.org/lima/niner-foxtrot. That's all lowercase, all swished together. sdf.org/l/9f. exactly. X1 hopes they're doing some sort of fundamental research and not just destroying some expensive space probe. Ooh, there's a Tubnix video. I want to see what that would look like. Anyway, we'll check that out later. Anyway, that just shows us a size comparison. The Eiffel Tower is 321 meters tall. Dimorphos is 163 meters, so it is not quite as big as Didymos. Didymos is what Dimorphos is orbiting, so that's what's going on. Hey, Gerbil Fat, welcome, welcome. Hello, hello. All right, so it's going to crash into Dimorphos and hopefully alter its orbit. DART will be returning images to Earth at the rate of 1 per second as it heads towards its deep impact. What at first will appear as a dot of light in the pictures will go quickly to fill the entire field of view before the feed then suddenly cuts out as the spacecraft is destroyed. Fortunately, that's not the end of the story. DART has carried with it a 14-kilogram Italian CubeSat that was released some days ago. Its job is to record what happens when DART digs out a crater. Its pictures, snapped from the safe distance of 50 kilometers away, will be beamed back to Earth over the coming days. Licia Cube will pass about 3 minutes after DART's impact, said Simone Perotta from the Italian Space Agency, ASI. So this should be pretty cool. We'll see what happens tomorrow. Also, in space news, NASA's Artemis launch, the space agency to roll moon rocket off launch pad, and could be forced to delay for months. If you didn't know, our good friends in Florida are, you know, having a little bit of a rough time because they are experiencing a hurricane. NASA will be giving up on launching its Artemis moon rocket soon and is to roll it away from its launch pad. A storm is set to lash the Kennedy Space Center complex where the rocket will take off as it lands in Florida. The space agency's announcement marks another round of bad luck for the problem-plagued mission. The latest issue could mean that a launch is delayed by months. NASA said that it had taken the decision to roll the rocket back because of the approach of Hurricane Ian. The latest predictions suggest that the weather is unlikely to improve and would lead to the planned launch probably being canceled. Rolling back the rocket protects equipment as well as giving the team time to themselves. The decision allows time for employees to address the needs of their families and protect the integrated rocket and spacecraft system. So, not yet, but soon they'll test this. This Artemis program is going to be one launching. It's an empty rocket right now, and they're just going to have it go up and fly around the moon and come back. But this is going to be the rocket system that's used to get people back to the moon. So that's what's going on right there with you. So what else is happening? A lot of stuff. Don't worry. I got a couple of Russian stories for you. Of course, we mentioned that the former whistleblower Edward Snowden was a citizen. There's two shootings to talk about, though, that are less positive, kind of sad stories. First, there was a school shooting in Russia. A gunman opened fire at a school in central Russia, killing at least 15 people and injuring 24, Russian officials say. The victims include 11 children at the school, about 1,000 pupils in the city of Izhevsk. The gunman killed himself at the scene and was a former pupil of the school. Let's see if we can get any audio out of that. They're running. There's a bunch of school kids. They're running through a hallway. Oh, okay. Well, the video that accompanies the story I thought would have more information, but instead it was just pictures of kids being rolled away on stretchers. One of the things that we learned in the Uvalde shooting is that children, because they're so small, they do not withstand assault weapon fire as well as like grown-up people do. So they can, you can easily like blow an arm or a leg off with just one or two straight bullets. The gunman killed himself at the scene and was a former pupil of the school. Videos posted online appear to show panic inside the building where the shooting took place. Other footage shows blood on classroom floor and a bullet hole in a window. 11 children and 4 adults were killed, including 2 security guards and 2 teachers. All but 2 of the 24 injured people were children, which is what we just said. Staff and pupil have been evacuated, which is in central Izhevsk, a city of about 650,000 residents. And of course, there is a map, so you know what that means. I got to get that image for you. We're going to throw it in here. Hey, friggin' Laureus. Welcome, welcome. Right, and all right. Let's see. This should be sdf.org/l/9g. It's all lowercase altogether. sdf.org/lima/9er. That's golf. So sdf.org/l/9g. Go there. You will see a map that shows school number 88, where it is in Izhevsk, and then where Izhevsk is in Russia. And I like this because it had all the pieces you needed to know where the shooting was, where the school is in the city, and then where the city is in the country. So thoughts going on there. Hey, freaking glorious. This is more just for... they don't have the details for the Russian shooting, but they talked about it a lot whenever they were talking about the Uvalde shooting that happened a couple weeks ago or few months ago, I guess now. But anyway, yeah, kids don't withstand bullets very well. And so it kind of goes without stating, but that's why school shootings at schools with small kids is so troubling, because they're so much smaller than people. All right. So now let's talk about a grown-up being shot. A Russian draft officer has been shot by a man angry at his friend's conscription, and another man has set himself on fire in protest as opposition to Vladimir Putin's announcement of mobilization for the war in Ukraine grows. Protests also continued for a third day in Russia's Dagestan region, where officers have fired automatic weapons into the air to disperse angry crowds. Meanwhile, thousands of cars are lined up at Russian borders carrying young men seeking to flee the country in order to escape the draft. There's a sense that tensions are rising across Russia as angry showdowns at local draft centers play out in videos published to social media, and rumors circulate about an impending closure of the borders or even martial law. This is only the fifth day of conscription, wrote Mikhailo Podolyak, an advisor to the Ukrainian president, before the coffins begin to return. The Kremlin has sought to calm Russians, saying that no decisions have been made to shut the borders or impose martial law, but the backlash has already begun. A draft officer was shot in Ust-Ilimsk, a town of about 85,000 people, in the Irkutsk region in Siberia. Video showed him being shot at close range by another man dressed in camouflage, as other potential draftees fled the room. The official was carried from the building and placed onto a stretcher. The regional governor, Igor Kobzev, wrote on the telegram messaging app that the head of the draft office was in critical condition, where doctors were fighting for his life. Corbez said the detained gunman would absolutely be punished. "I'm ashamed that this is happening at a time when, on the contrary, we should be united," the governor wrote. "We must fight not against each other, but against real threats." Memorial poster in the center of Moscow shown a Russian soldier killed in the war, proclaiming glory to Russian heroes. According to witnesses, the man who shot the draft officer after he'd been given a clumsy pep talk from the men to go and fight in Ukraine. "Nobody is going to go anywhere," the man said moments before opening fire. The People of Baikal news outlet quoted the witness as saying. Another witness claimed, "Nobody's going to war. Now we'll all go home." In Ryazan, a man set his clothing on fire while yelling that he didn't want to go participate in Russia's war in Ukraine. A local news outlet also published a video of a man covered in a medical blanket being led away by police officers. The story goes on and on. But yeah, it's pretty tough times there, internally and externally, for Russia. Move over a little bit to the south there. In Iran, excuse me. Sorry about that. Oh man, I've been talking for a minute. We've only got about 9 minutes to go before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe happens. That's a fun show that happens every goddamn day at 19:30 UTC. And yeah, it's a lot of fun. It happens at 19:30. It's 30 minutes long. And then after that, various shows start up. On Mondays and Fridays, we've got Harry Larry. On Mondays, we've got Mix Remix. And on Fridays, Something Blue. Both shows are a lot of fun, so check those out. You can also go to anonradio.net to check out the schedule. There's a lot of stuff going on there. Tobe has gone to the roof. Anyway, news inside of Russia is always a hard call, right? Let's see, what else do we got going on? Hey, Stug, welcome. In Iran, at least 41 people have died in unrest sparked by a young woman's death as judiciary warns of decisive action without leniency. Iranians have taken to the streets for the 10th consecutive night to protest against the death of Mahsa Amini in defiance of a warning from the judiciary. At least 41 people have died since the unrest began, mostly protesters, but including members of security forces. Sources are saying the real figure is much higher. Norway-based group Iran Human Rights said on Sunday evening that the death toll was at least 57, but noted that ongoing internet blackouts were making it increasingly difficult to confirm fatalities in the context where the woman-led protests have spread to scores of cities. Images circulated by AHR showed protesters on the streets of Tehran shouting death to dictator, purportedly after nightfall on Sunday. Echoing a warning the previous day by the president of Ibrahim Raisi, the judiciary chief, Ghulam Hossein Mohsini Ejeh, on Sunday emphasized the need for decisive action without leniency against the core instigators of the riots. Riots are in quotes here. Hundreds of demonstrators, reform activists, and journalists have been arrested amid the mostly nighttime demonstrations since unrest first broke. So keep an eye out on that, but more and more people getting rounded up there. Of course, if we're talking about religious regimes and right-wing, super right-wing conservative stuff, we of course have to talk about Italy. I realize now that I say Italy like a Texan, but hey, that's what's going on. That's where I'm from. Matteo Salvini, the leader of Italy's far-right league, has promised that his alliance with Giorgia Meloni's Brothers of Italy will deliver a long-lasting government. As Italians begin to digest the outcome of an election, they'll bring about the country's most right-wing government since the end of the Second World War. Final results gave the coalition control of both houses of parliament, with 44% of the vote confirmed, a swing in the balance of power in the Italian far-right toward Meloni, as her party made spectacular gains in the league's northern strongholds of Veneto and Friuli Venezia Giulia. Meloni is expected to be given a mandate from the president, Sergio Mattarella, to form a government after October 13th, meaning she will take office by the end of next month. Hey, Aldi Beth, welcome. And Utsoho, welcome. Thanks for tuning in. Glad you guys have made it in. before the Dubious Goals Committee, because that big fun time. Okay, well, what else is going on? So much stuff. Lots of fun stuff. Lots of not so fun stuff. Giorgia Meloni, that's the Italian lady's name. In Cuba, some good news. The country votes to legalize same-sex marriage. Cuba's voted to legalize same-sex marriage in a national referendum. About two-thirds of the population voted to approve reforms and a new family code, which will also allow surrogate pregnancies and give gay couples the right to adopt children. It's a big moment for Cuba, which saw gay people persecuted and sent to work camps in the 60s and 70s. However, there was a significant opposition to the reform among religious groups and conservatives. The referendum on Sunday was for a new family code, a 100-page document which went through more than a two dozen drafts and hours of debate and community-level meetings. Cuba's government had backed the law change and ran a nationwide campaign urging people to approve it. Speaking as he voted on Sunday, the country's president, Miguel Díaz-Canel, said he expected most of the population would vote yes and that the new code reflected the diversity of people, families, and beliefs. That was pretty darn cool. Oops, accidentally closed com instead of closing my my tab. But thanks to the power of Tmux, I won't lose anything. All I gotta do is just attach back. Oh, I wasn't using Tmux. Oh well, go to Anon Radio. Boom, now I'm back. Everything is good. All right. So let's close that tab now and keep it moving. We've got about 4 minutes to go, so I'm just going to run through some headlines with you. There is a many pharmacies and physicians are forced to deny patients access to drugs such as methotrexate that can be used to help induce an abortion. Weeks after the Supreme Court's 24th of June decision to overturn Roe v. Wade, the pharmacy chain Walgreens sent Annie England Noblin a message informing her that her monthly prescription of methotrexate was held up. She's a 40-year-old college instructor in rural Missouri, and she's never had trouble getting her monthly prescription for her rheumatoid arthritis, so she went to her local Walgreens to figure out why. When it was finally her turn, a pharmacist informed her that she couldn't release the medication until she received confirmation from Noblin's doctor that she wouldn't use it to have an abortion. Since the Supreme Court's elimination of federal abortion rights, many states have been enacting laws which restrict access to abortion and drugs that could cause abortion. So, yeah, a lot of drugs, any drug that potentially cause harm to a baby or cause an abortion, is going to be a lot harder to get access to. So, if you have access to those drugs, hey, I'm a drug dealer. All right. And we're going to be out of time. Elon Musk's Starlink isn't going to be there in Iran, unfortunately. The Venezuela-Colombia border reopened. Far-right Jews are messing with the Palestinians entering their mosque during prayer times and stuff like that. And Xi Jinping's core status reaffirmed as the Communist Party of China unveiled Congress invitees. And he has a very flashy, cool medal on. But yeah, we're out of time. Thanks so much for being here and hanging out. Actually, we got a couple of seconds. Let's see. Do we have... I want to try something. Let's see if... see if we can hear this. Push play.
Kenyan rescuers were still busy Monday afternoon in Kirigiti, Kiambu County. If this victim was extracted from the rubble alive, at least three people were killed in a building collapse.
Did you guys hear that? I hope so. I'm trying to set it up so that I can feed stories out of the web pages I'm reading the news from, especially whenever there's places that don't make sense or like are hard for me to say. Then we could play some audio with somebody actually saying the name right and stuff. All right. Well, I don't know how many seconds we got, so please enjoy the Dubious Goals Committee, and I will see you tomorrow from the roof, probably.